You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC. Thanks for joining us on the KMC podcast. We're glad to have you here. Looking forward to another great episode. And I'm always excited about bringing new resources to the KMC community. And I get the honor to introduce to you a new resource from my friend, Keith Farron. Keith, you've been on the program a couple of times, but welcome back. And just give everybody, in case they must be living under a rock and they don't know you. But anyway, give yourself a little introduction.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Keith Farron. I'm an author, blogger, speaker. Kind of the unique piece of my ministry is the word-for-word biblical storytelling, taking whole books of the Bible or large chunks of it and using the words on the page to communicate and to tell stories. So, but my passion is really helping individuals and churches and conferences and families move from should to want when it comes to the Bible. That's always my hope. I find that when it comes to church, so many people are, they love church, they love good preaching, they love the worship, and students love youth ministry, and they love mission trips and summer camp and all that. But then you talk about the Bible, and it's like, yeah, I should read that more, I should know that better, whatever. And so that was my story for the first 20 years I was a Christian, and the last 20 have been a lot better. but that moving from should to want, because there definitely are ways that we as individuals and families and churches can do that.
So. Excellent. Well, I've always appreciated your resources, and it's been a challenge to me. As I was sharing off air, I've been reading through the book of Colossians for the last month and a half or so, and just in fact sat at the base of El Capitan in Yosemite and read out loud. I'm sure the climbers up above me, maybe they heard me. I don't know. I didn't really, wasn't worried about them. I do hope they did. Yep, little encouragement as they climbed. Because you couldn't help but be in awe of the majesty of God, and I couldn't help be in awe of majesty of His Word as I sat there on the rock and read about the rock. Yeah. It was just awesome, awesome. So, well, you've got a brand new book, and I am super excited about this resource just because I can see, as a children's pastor, how powerful this can be, getting it into the hands of parents. It's called Bible Praying for Parents. And it's going to be released here real soon when this podcast is coming out. Keith actually showed me, I could see on video. So if you're watching this on the YouTube channel,
there it is,
the actual copy. And, so Keith, let me ask, why did you write a book about Bible praying for parents? What was the catalyst behind this one?
Well, this is actually the first, this is a new thing for me because, you know, I've written several books on my own, and then I've contributed to some compilations, you know, where I've written a chapter of a family ministry book or even a devotional for corporate folks. And so I've contributed to books and I've written books. This is the first book that I've really co-written with just one other person. And, you know, Judy Fetzer is, she works at Northwest University here in the Seattle area. And she has now three grown kids. But when her kids were little, she was part of a Moms in Prayer group. And she met somebody who was really just very consistent at praying scriptures over their kids. And so she started doing that. And then she started this little blog where she called it a blog, but it really was just, she would take one piece of scripture a day. Uh-huh. And she would, sometimes the words needed to be changed just a tiny bit to make it into a prayer, but as much as possible, it's just straight words of scripture. And then there would be a blank, you know, like if it was said, you know, if the verse said you, she would just put a blank so that she could insert her kids' names. And she would just pray. Sometimes it was one verse. Sometimes it was three or four verses, a paragraph. And she started putting this blog out for people in her Moms in Prayer group to sign up for, to be emailed this prayer they could pray over her kids, and ended up with over 365 of them. And wow. And I was talking with her once, probably, I don't know, 5 years ago or something like that. And she told me about it. And I said, oh, that sounds cool. And she sent it to me. And it just kind of, it changed some things. I mean, I still, honestly, I just prayed one that came in my email this morning. And so even though I've got the book sitting here, I still get her a little email that's just a reminder to be praying. And I thought, what a concept of, you're both in the Word as a parent, you're praying more consistently for your kids. And because of the way that she did this, it was something that she had them also categorized, so that she was praying for their faith, and she was praying for their character, and she was praying for their friendships, and she was praying for their relationships with themselves as parents, and their teachers, and had all these different categories. And I just noticed, man, you're really praying for the totality of your child. And we kind of sometimes get in that rut of, you know, please draw my kids closer to you, God, and protect them and keep them safe. And we kind of end up with a standard prayer that we pray for
right.
our kids.
Right. We almost get in remote control.
And we may not touch on even thinking about praying for their character or their thought life or even their physical body or whatever it is. And so, so this just, and I just was talking with her a couple of years ago and saying, what if this was turned into a devotional, that it wasn't just something where people got it in their email, but they could actually hold it and they could keep it with their Bible and they could have it daily. And she was open to the idea of doing it and said, well, you're the author, go run with it. And so then I kind of took that and thought, well, what if instead of just the 365, what if we added a couple sections? What if there was a section where we took all of the prayers that are spread out over the year for each category and had a section where you could pray all those prayers for a specific category? So if your child, for example, is really struggling with anxiety about something, that you can pray the 8-10 scripture prayers that normally are spread throughout the year, but you could have a time where you sit down and you pray multiple verses of scripture for your child's anxiety or friendships or relationship, whatever it is.
Right.
And then the third section is Bible blessings. I think that blessing our children and blessing each other is something that we've kind of gotten away from, that was really important in the early church. And we see it throughout the Old Testament. We see people blessing their children. And I think that taking those words of scripture and speaking them to our children, that, hey, this is what I'm praying for you, and this is what God has for you, and this is the way I'm asking God to bless you, is something that I know, even with my own kids, as I started doing that more, it's something where sometimes they kind of have this awkward look on their face as you're as you're saying this blessing to them, but that awkward look always turns to a grin on their face as they realize that you're speaking something very true and profound, even though it's simple. And so that kind of everything just kind of morphed into from this simple emailing out a daily prayer to having a 365-day devotional combined with a categorical prayer section combined with blessings. And that's what turned into Bible praying for parents. So that was that's the story behind that.
So what's for you and Judy, what's your guys' ultimate goal when it comes to this book? What do you want to see happen with it?
Well, I would love to see more and more parents praying the words of scripture. We know that we need to pray more, and we know that scripture is in line with God's will. So why not pray God's will for sure over your kids every day? And so we want to, you know, everything that I do is about equipping individuals, churches, and families to connect with God more through his word. And so I think that prayer is certainly a way we can do that. And when we combine prayer and his word, so I want to see parents praying those and blessing their kids with the words of scripture, seeing how, because I think while the prayers themselves can be powerful, I think what ends up happening also is we start reading the Bible differently. I've noticed myself, as I'm reading, I will see scriptures that aren't even in this book that I will turn into prayers as I'm reading, just because I'm now becoming more in the habit of Bible praying. And so I'll notice some things. So it's getting me even more connected with the word. So I want to equip parents, but then also I've already, as I've shown some preview copies to some family ministry folks like yourself, I keep getting these emails and texts back that say, this would be a great dedication gift for babies, yeah. Or this would be, you know, when somebody is baptized, this would be a cool thing to give to their parents as mm-hmm. you're giving a gift to the kid or whatever, as people at a baby shower. And I keep hearing these things of children's pastors and family ministry people and pastors that say, oh man, here's a gift that I want to give to new parents or to parents of kids as they, you know, graduate from kindergarten or something, yeah, whatever it yeah. is. Those different times when you can give parents a very simple gift. So that's really the hope with this book.
Yeah. Well, I definitely, and yeah, I am one that, you know, you blessed me with a preview copy. And as I read through it, that was what came to mind is, wow, you know, one, I wished I'd had this when my kids were younger. You know, I was encouraged, I think, on occasion to pray for my children with scripture. But like you said at the beginning, we often get into the rut and we pray the standard, you know, watch over them, you know, keep them safe, you know, provide for them. And yeah, we get into a remote control prayer for our kids where when you're praying the living, active, powerful word of God, it does change things. I can hear how it's already, and I was going to ask this question later, but, and you kind of tagged on it a little bit, is it's impacted you in some pretty powerful ways. How has it impacted your children too?
Well, I would say that some of them are either not noticeable or not realized yet. I mean, I think mm-hmm. that part of prayer is God acting on those prayers, and we don't necessarily always see how that happens. Sometimes we do. Sometimes also, I think we oftentimes pray. We could get into the philosophy of prayer, but I think oftentimes we pray to change God's mind or to get him to do something. Yes. And sometimes I think that prayer is also about changing us, mm-hmm. Really, really putting us into a place where we are agreeing with the mind of God and being reminded of what is true and good. Mm-hmm. And so some of it has been a changing really of me and how I read and notice scripture mm-hmm. is one. I would say for the impact on my kids, what I've seen more is kind of what I alluded to briefly is the praying the blessings over them.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say that I'm perfectly consistent at that. That's something that I want to get to the place where it's regular, it's daily and habitually. And so while I'm praying the prayers over them, the blessing, it's something that, because it's not part of our culture, I'll sometimes go to bed and realize, man, I didn't say a blessing to my kids. And so whether it's making that something that happens at the breakfast table or something that happens at dinner time or at bedtime or something like that to pray one of these blessings, I think having the physical copy is now going to help that. Yeah. Yeah. I can actually take that into their room and read one of these scriptures to them. Blessings. But I do see the look on their face as you take the living word of God, the true ancient truths of God's word, and you speak it to them, there is this look on their face. Like I said, it starts as kind of an awkwardness because it's not the way that we talk to each other, right. In blessing. But I do notice the look on their face, and I've even had my kids occasionally, when I, depending on the scripture, thank me for that blessing. And mm-hmm. so, which is a pretty cool deal. So I think yeah. the blessings are the ones that I've seen the result of the most. Mm-hmm. But I believe that prayer has both present and eternal impact, as well as impact on me as a parent. So,
yeah. Okay. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Why do you think sometimes we as parents struggle to pray this way over our kids? Is it the awkwardness that we're like, oh, I don't want my kid feeling awkward, or even when we're just praying the regular prayers? You know, because I'm sad to say that there's times where I hadn't even thought of sitting there and praying scripture over my children, or praying, you know, I've done times where I've prayed, you know, when I've gone through the Psalms and I read the Psalm as a prayer. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes you got to watch which Psalms you're reading. you know, when David's pretty angry, you can, those are interesting prayers if you're going through church conflict or something, I guess you read right. those, I guess. But why do you think parents struggle with doing this kind of thing?
Honestly, I think that it's not as complicated as we think. I think it comes down to, we are out of the habit of doing it. Mm. We are out of practice, and anything that is new and different has a period of stretching before it becomes normal, before it becomes habitual, before it becomes enjoyable. And you know, I mean, there's kind of this progression that goes, and you just, like, you talk to people that know, for, you know, for example, me with exercise, you know, it's like, I know that I should exercise more and everything. And it's not even that I hate exercise. It's that it's not in the habit. And so there's a soreness, and there's a kind of, when I do start exercising programs or whatever kind of thing it is, there is a period of both physical soreness that comes from that, but also just getting into the routine of, when am I going to do it during the day, and what's that going to look like? And there's the forgetting to do it and whatever. But the more that you exercise, the more that you actually miss it on the days that you don't. You talk to people who have been exercising regularly, you know, 4 to 6 times a week for 5 years, and they feel weird at the end of the day if they don't. And I think sometimes spiritual disciplines like prayer, like silence, like Bible reading, and even in our day and age, like church attendance, yeah. is something that is so much not just built into our, it hasn't become a habit, that there needs to be a practice of that before it does. And so anything that's not a habit takes some effort and work at the start. And I think that it really comes down to that. We are busy and we're out of the habit. And so hopefully, I mean, my hope, you ask what the hope is. Yeah. I actually, this is one book, and I buy more of my books on digital, but this is one book that I really hope people buy the physical one of more than the digital one.
Yeah.
Because I think that if we see it on a counter, we could leave it in our kitchen on the counter, or we could leave it on an end table in our living room or by our bedside or something. And I think because it literally takes 30 seconds, yeah, right, to pick one up and pray one of these prayers, if you did that right before you went to bed or right when you got up, to put us in that mindset, I just think that's going to, this is going to be one where it's going to be much easier to put it into practice if people have a physical copy versus a digital copy.
Yeah.
Then you have to remember to open up the app on your phone or on your tablet or your computer or however mm-hmm. you've got it. So it's going to be available on Kindle and everything else, because that's just how some people operate. But it's something that of all my books, this is the one that I really, really hope that people buy a physical one instead of a digital one. Yeah. And honestly, that's probably a dumb business thing, because any author will tell you end up making more on digital copies because there's no cost.
the overhead.
So it's one of those things where, but I, honestly, I want it to get used, and it will get used more if you have a physical one.
Yeah, I gotta agree. And if I can say to our listeners that, after, you know, I mean, I got a digital copy and I like that, but I could see if I had a physical copy that I put next to my journal and my Bible, it's going to be something that I would pick up. And let me just give our listeners an example. This is January 2nd, The category is others. The scripture is Mark 12, verses 30 to 31. And the focus of the prayer is to pray for your child's devotion to God, love for God. So I'll use my son, Tom, as an example. May Tom love you, Lord, with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, with all of his strength. And let Tom love his neighbor as himself, because there's no commandment greater than these. Amen. Again, it can't get any easier than that.
Right.
I mean, I think you and Judy have really, this format, like you said, it would take nothing to incorporate that into your morning devotion or your nightly before you go to bed to you know, just stand at the doorway of your children. I mean, I used to stand at the kids' doorway after I tucked them in and said goodnight, and we usually had some kind of fun thing we did in the evenings. And I remember walking by them and praying over them when they slept, because I was challenged to do that, you know, a long time ago. But nobody ever challenged me really to pray scripture like this. And that's why, you know, yeah, as a kid's pastor, I can totally see this being something that as a dedication gift or a baptism gift that you would want to get this in, or if you're doing any kind of parenting, you know, if we're truly tying church and home together, if that's our end goal, is we want the parents to take responsibility for, you know, Sunday through Saturday, then we've got to provide them some resources. I find this is a great tool to put in somebody's hands and say, here, there's no more excuse. You know, it just popped into my head too, that this would be a great thing to teach our children to use, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to teach them, like you said, to get the habit started now while they're young, mm-hmm. To help them learn to pray scripture for themselves, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think this could be a very powerful tool. But that's how simple, guys. You know, each one of these categories, each one of these scriptures, day by day, if you use it day by day, or if you go dig in, you know, if you're into counseling families, this would be a great resource to have on hand. That if you've got a parent who's, like he said, anxiety, anger, fear, you know, there's so many, you know, big rocks, you know, mind and body, parenting, friendships, future. These are just some of the categories that they've listed in here. And I think using those as a counseling resource, this would be one of those that would be close at hand on my desk to help parents and say, hey, look, here's some scriptures that you can use to pray through with your child and to pray over them. Here's some blessings. I love the blessings thing. You know, that's just, that is something that we have lost. And I think if we would learn on different occasions, besides giving them a birthday gift, we gave them a birthday blessing from God's word. That's powerful stuff. You can't get around that. So as we think about, you know, how it's going to be used and different things like that, you know, I can just imagine that if parents would start to use this, like you said, they're going to feel the change in themselves because they're going to start looking at scripture. This could take them even deeper as they look at the context behind these scripture verses and, you know, what else is there around that. So if you were going to coach a parent in getting started, like I mean, this is really easy. It shouldn't take any coaching, but
yeah,
there's a lot of young believers out there, and there's a lot of people who the word of God is foreign to them, especially a hard copy, because we're such a digital group now. Right. So how would you instruct them, encourage them to use this? What would you tell them? Because I think it.
I would say, again, grab a physical copy, and then because it's set out as 365, the coaching is really in the way the prayers are written. There's really no coach. When you read at the beginning, there's a note from Judy, there's a note from me, yep. And just kind of setting up that section. There's an intro to each section, But then you just go to the date. I mean, today, as we're recording this, is June 22nd. So you just go to, just open it up and you'd look at, okay, where's June 22nd? And so you look at, okay, so there it is, June 22nd, right there on the page, if you're looking on the video. And you just look at, okay, I'm praying for my child's heart. And this is from Ezekiel 11. And, you know, the focus is praying for your child's spirit. So, Lord, I pray that you would give, in my case, my oldest, Sarah, singleness of heart and put a new spirit within her. May you take away Sarah's stony, stubborn heart and give her a tender, responsive heart. Help her obey your decrees and regulations and be her God. Amen. So, I mean, it's just, so that's today.
Yeah.
and so you just pray it. And then I would say the next step would be, and there will be some uncomfortableness at the beginning, but pick a time during your day. Sometimes it's at the breakfast table. Again, maybe at one of the meals, if you've got younger kids and you're sitting together, your kids aren't running off to sports practices. And maybe it's at bedtime. Maybe it's while they're brushing their teeth. Whatever it is, that you just take one of the blessings from the blessing section. There aren't 365 of those. We've got, you know, 40 plus in there. So you'll, you know, every month and a half or so, you'll walk through those blessings and just pick a time and speak one of those blessings directly to your child. And they may not, who knows how they're going to respond the first few times, but I think that they'll appreciate it. I know my friend Michelle Anthony said when she started blessing her children, there was one day when she was downstairs and her son went up to bed and yelled down. She thought something was wrong. And she said, "What's wrong?" He said, "You didn't bless me yet."
Wow.
And he just got to the point where he couldn't go to sleep because she had blessed him. So it just became such a habit. So,
that's cool.
So that, I mean, those would be a couple ways to just really get started.
That's cool. Okay. So, yeah, I think, you know, like I said, if you're listening to this podcast, you're going to want to pick up this book. You're going to want to look at it and consider how you can use it in your children's ministry. We've already given you a variety of ways that you can use this, from, you know, a dedication gift to baptism gifts to, if you're doing a parenting class, this would be a great graduation gift to the parents to say, here, start doing this. I think the earlier you get this into parents' hands and encourage them, challenge them to create the habit, the better. Because as parents model this, the kids are going to see that mom and dad value God's word. I should too. And then start teaching your parents how to pray, or teaching your parents, teaching your children to have the kids teach the parents. I don't know. Maybe that is the way to do it. But teaching them to use God's word. Any verses that just are a blessing that stands out to you as something? It's hard to always, you know, ask authors if you have a favorite passage or something, but is there one that stands out to you?
Yeah, actually, and I could do a whole message on this, but my kind of life verses are Ephesians 5:1-2 that say, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." That, to me, that's this summary of we've been loved, we've been sacrificed for, and yes, we are to follow God's example, but we're not to follow him just as servants or students or slaves or whatever, but we are to follow him and his example as dearly loved children. That's a very different, and that speaks to the relationship. So there's so much that is contained. I could write a whole book on those two verses, but maybe I will.
There you go. That's another book coming. I was just going to even ask you if you had any other projects in the works. So there's one. You just got the scoop on KMC right here.
Right. There you go.
So Keith, how can people get the book? What's the best way to get a hold of this? Because I know they're going to want to get a copy of this.
Well, it's on Amazon. I mean, if you go to Amazon and you just search on my name, keithferrin.com, you'll see it. So, and my last name is spelled F-E-R-R-I-N. And so keithferrin.com. So you can search on Keith Ferrin there, or Bible Praying for Parents. You can also just go to keithferrin.com. And if you are a children's pastor or youth pastor, you're thinking about, you want to buy them in bulk, Obviously, Amazon is just going to have their price. So if you're, but since they do free shipping and Prime and all that stuff, I always tell people, if you're going to buy one or two, go to Amazon because you can get it cheaper than I can give it to you. But if you're going to buy more than 10, then if you go to keithferrin.store, then there are some bulk discounts for ordering 10 or ordering 25.
Okay.
So that I can do when that happens for churches. So.
Okay. Great. And how can people get in touch with you? Obviously, they can go right to your website, keithferrin.com. Yeah. Is that the best way?
Keithferrin.com. And my direct email is okay. keith@keithferrin.com. And if you go to Facebook, if you just go to facebook.com/keithferrin, just all one word, that's my ministry page where I do live videos occasionally and share about different resources and quotes and have conversations. And so that's where I interact mostly is Facebook/Keith Farron.
Excellent. Well, yep. Keith, thanks for your time and thanks for sharing about this new project. And I'm glad we can share it with the KMC community. I hope you guys will get the word out and let people know that this is available and it's a powerful resource. There's no doubt about it. I encourage you to pick up a hard copy. You can do the digital copy too, but get the hard copy, put it by your devotional, start praying over your kids like I'm doing now, with mine. So, thanks again, Keith, for your time. Thanks for being on the KMC with us.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.